Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same thought. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer by human passions, but by the will of God. Let the time that is past suffice for doing what the Gentiles like to do, living in licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousings, and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you do not now join them in this same wild profligacy, and they abuse you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to the dead, that though judged in the flesh like men, they might live in the spirit like God. It's good to have you with us this morning. I know we've got several visitors, have some even from out of the country, I understand. Isn't it wonderful that we find our unity in the Lord? This is an advertisement. We're going to have a vacation Bible school here in June. And this afternoon we're going to have a meeting together to make the plans for the various lessons that we're going to have about Jesus. And so they didn't intend for this to be up on the podium. I found it in the foyer and it fits so well with the high school class. How does that make you feel, Jim? The adult class this morning. That I brought it in and then I just couldn't bring myself to carry it back out. So this is my fault if anybody has any complaints. I'm the one that put that up there. Who was Jesus? We looked in the adult class at how that he was misunderstood. And the comment was made, I don't think anyone really understood who Jesus was until after his death, burial, and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I think that's true. I think there were those who had an inkling, but they didn't fully understand. Do you and I? If someone were to ask you on the street this week sometime and put a microphone in your face and say, who is Jesus? What would you say? How would you respond? The verse that we want to look at in particular for our text this morning is verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 4. For this is why the gospel was preached even to the dead, that though judged in the flesh like men, they might live in the spirit like God. Preaching to the dead? Can you imagine that? Today as this week as I drove up from the stoplight and headed back out toward the church building, coming off of Rodeo Road was a hearse. I thought, that's got to be a 1950s, if not a 1940 model. It was an old, big, white, long, tall hearse. What did I surmise, since it was coming from the cemetery? Probably, I don't know this for a fact because I didn't follow up, but probably there was a funeral that day. Now, I have preached in many a cemetery. But generally speaking, I've been there with other people that are alive like me, standing around a grave, whether it be a graveside service or memorial service. But can you imagine me standing in that cemetery? Imagine a cemetery with all the tombstones, all alone, no one else, and preaching to the dead. You know what that would get me? A straitjacket, wouldn't it? You'd say, that's not right. But yet here the passage says, this is why the gospel was preached even to the dead. What does that mean, preaching to the dead? Am I supposed to be in the cemetery? Or is there another kind of death that Peter is alluding to here? Now, we know Jesus had power even over the dead, the physical dead. If we went back to Mark chapter 5, you would find Jesus dealing with Jairus' daughter. Remember, Jairus was a man, a leader of the synagogue, that came to Jesus and said, my daughter is ill, and I need you to come and heal her. And on the way, Jesus got waylaid by a woman with an issue of blood, and he was delayed a little bit. I'm not sure that that was the cause of Jairus' daughter's death, but by the time Jesus is through with this woman, healing her issue of blood that she had had for 12 years, they come to Jesus and they say, don't worry about it. His daughter has died. In other words, there's nothing you can do. And in most cases, that would be true, wouldn't it? When someone has died, then it's all over. Jesus, though, turns to Jairus and he says, don't worry about it. Take me to her. It's not that Jesus doesn't believe that she's dead, but Jesus has power. And as he goes to Jairus' daughter's room, they have her laid out and they're mourning and weeping for her. Jesus tells everybody else, it's okay. She's merely sleeping. And he gets laughed at. But then he turns to the little girl and he says, little girl, rise up. What was Jesus doing? He was speaking to the dead, wasn't he? Was she really dead? Yes. But Jesus had power to speak to the dead and to raise them up. As he passed by a funeral in the city of Nain, there was this procession going by, and Jesus is simply walking by with his disciples, soon to be apostles, in Luke chapter 7. And he stops. That's good etiquette. That's what you're supposed to do when a funeral procession is going by. But then Jesus breaks the rules. He walks up to the casket, to the funeral pyre, and he says to the young man, rise. And this poor widow who had lost her son has him back. And it says that he raised up and immediately began to talk. When Jesus said, arise, he was speaking to the dead. He can do that. He has that power. And of course, the incident that you probably remember the best for Jesus was his friend Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he delayed in coming to Mary and Martha. But there in John chapter 11, as he arrives on the scene, he somewhat chastises Martha and Mary and says, do you believe that he can be raised? And they said, certainly in the last day, in the resurrection, the final resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so as Jesus stood and looked at that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, his power was demonstrated. Jesus really could speak to the dead, proclaim his message, and be heeded. And that same power was passed down to his apostles. In Acts chapter 9, when Peter comes across a woman who was a great help to the village, her name was Dorcas or Tabitha, and she has died and they are mourning for her, and Peter comes, he says to her what? Arise. When Paul, there at Troas, is a witness to Eutychus falling out of the window, what does Paul do but raise him up? Why do we have so few examples? Really are there just a few of people being raised from the dead when the power is there in the voice of Jesus and in his followers, the apostles? Why do we even have these examples? What was God trying to say? And is there a lesson in that for us today? When Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6, our text for today, this is why the gospel was preached even to the dead, that though they are judged in the flesh like men, they might live in the spirit like God. Was Peter remembering back to Dorcas' resurrection? Was this a limited application that Peter was making? Or is there something else involved in the resurrection of the dead? What if I told you that at one time you were dead? One time I was dead. And perhaps some of you are dead yet. What would you say? You'd say, that man's crazy. I'm not dead. Here, come take my blood pressure. I've got a pulse. My pupils are responsive. I can think. I can eat. I can act. I've never been dead, you might say. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Paul said simply to the Roman brethren, the wages of sin is death. And in the process, what Paul was saying is, whenever I sin, I reach that age in my life when I begin to know right from wrong, and I sin, I choose to do wrong, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said that earlier, three chapters in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. When I sin, I separate myself from He who is life itself. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah says, it's not that the Lord's hand is shortened that He cannot save, or His ear heavy that He cannot hear, but your sins have made a separation between you and your God. And your iniquities have hid His face from you so that He will not hear you. My sin separates me from life. That is death. You know, Satan's been playing this game of defining death only physically since the very beginning. Do you remember how he used it? Adam and Eve were told not to eat of a certain tree, for on that day that they eat, they would die. Satan came along and he told Eve, he said, that's not true. When you eat of that tree, you're not going to die. God just doesn't want you being like Him. He doesn't want you as smart as Him. And it almost seems as if Satan is telling the truth, because Eve eats of the fruit, she lives. Adam eats of the fruit, he lives. So Satan was right. No, Satan was wrong. The day that they ate of the fruit, they were separated from God. They were cast out of the garden. They spiritually died the moment they ate of the fruit. Your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your iniquities have hid His face from you, from Him, so that He will not hear you. The death being spoken of is spiritual, the results of sin. And since all men sin, and since the wages of sin are death, there was a time in your life, even if you walk with Jesus now, there was a time in your life when you were separated from God because of your sin. And if you have yet to come to God, you are dead yet. That's what the Bible is saying. You want to have another proof text? We'll get back to this one. Go with me to the book of John and listen to Jesus. Preaching to the dead. John chapter 5. Let's start with verse 20. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. Jesus is speaking. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these will He show Him, that you may marvel. And what Jesus has just done is He's healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, the cripple who couldn't get into the water whenever it was stirred. And that has caused a stir amongst the Jews. Jesus said, greater works than these are going to be manifested to you, because the Father has revealed Himself to the Son. Verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will. What's Jesus hinting at? You think healing a cripple is great? Someday, what are you going to see me do? You'll witness me raising the dead. This precedes the resurrection of Lazarus. Verse 22. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Who is this Jesus? Just a man? What has Jesus just proclaimed after He's healed a cripple and prophesied possibly about raising the dead? What has Jesus just proclaimed to His listeners? I and the Father are one. And if you don't honor me, you do not honor Jehovah. There's no mystery to who Jesus was. He proclaimed it loud and clear, but they weren't listening. They were choosing to ignore his claims until the day that they finally could not ignore them any longer, and they said, it's blasphemy. He says he is the Son of God, but we don't believe him. But even yet, Jesus, long before the time of his betrayal, is proclaiming, I am so close to the Father that if you reject me, he will reject you. I and the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of God. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Was Jesus being redundant? In verse 25, he talked about the dead listening. In verse 28, he talks about the dead listening. Yet you look at what Jesus says and he's contrasting the two, not repeating himself. Who are the dead then in verse 25? We know that the dead mentioned in verse 28 and following are the physical dead, because Jesus said the day will come when those who are in their tombs will respond to the voice of the Son of God and will come forth. That's the last day, isn't it? Jesus is prophesying about the time when he returns to earth and the dead literally will hear his voice again. And all will rise. But not all will be saved. Not all will be resurrected to eternal life. But some will be resurrected to judgment. So who is he talking about in verse 25 when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. There's two kinds of death. Physical death, we can't get around and we must accept. And spiritual death that many would just choose to ignore. Whenever my sin separates me from God, it separates me from life, it places me in a condemned state, spiritually separated, spiritually dead. Why is the gospel preached even to the dead? Because that's for whom the bell tolls. And Peter says they need to hear the truth before it's too late. Even though condemned in the flesh like men, God longs to bring them to life in the spirit that they might be like God. When Peter says, I proclaim the gospel even to the dead, he's not preaching in some cemetery to a bunch of tombstones. He's not standing next to a cave with a rock rolled in front of it. When Peter says, I proclaim the good news even to the dead, he says, I preach to those who, because of their sin, are in a state of hopeless separation from God Almighty. Jesus said simply, I came to seek and to save the lost. Who is this Jesus? He is the resurrection and the life. So why did Jesus raise the little girl, Jairus' daughter? Why did Jesus stop the funeral procession and raise the widow's son of Nain? Why did Jesus, knowing that Lazarus was in a right relationship with God because he was the friend of Jesus, why did he yet raise him from the dead? Why were his apostles given the power over Dorcas and over Eutychus to bring them back to life? Because those were symbolic of the power of Jesus and his teachings. Those were illustrations of the last day when Christ will come back and raise everyone from their tombs. There will not be a single soul that can ignore that command to come forth, that some will be raised to judgment. others to eternal life. Why were those given? Why were those miracles performed? So that you and I might know that God has power. That in God is life. And we have hope. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Why was Jesus himself raised from the dead? Beginning with verse 1, Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, listen closely now to verse 4, and designated Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Paul says, I am an apostle. We looked last week at what that means to be an apostle, one who is sent, one who is given a message and told to proclaim it. We looked the week before at what it meant to be a friend of Jesus, because Jesus told his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. A servant doesn't know what his master's will is, but I have called you friends because everything that the Father has given to me, I have given to you. Jesus said, I have let you in on the mystery of life. God allowed me to do that. Jesus said, and not only is that mystery that you are mine, but that you have the message to call all men to God through me. If a man honors me, he honors my Father. If he dishonors me, he dishonors God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Did Peter understand what his message was? Did Paul comprehend what it was that God had given him to do? Paul says, I have been given by God the gospel, the good news. Paul says, I understand that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm not ashamed of it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says, here's the good news. Though dead in sin, in Jesus there's hope. Just as surely as you're lost in the tomb, no longer having the opportunity to follow and obey God, and life is over, when you are in sin, you are separated from God and without hope. But in Jesus, there is the resurrection. How do you know that He is the Son of God? Because He Himself has power over death. The tomb could not hold Him. When the stone was rolled away and he stepped forth, he proclaimed to the world and he spat in Satan's face, I am life and I'll not be chained. He offers that to you and to me so that we might live. So that though judged in the flesh like men, condemned because of our sin, we might live in the Spirit like God. Preaching to the dead, it's what every preacher does. Proclaiming life to those without hope. It's not our message, it's His. We are under obligation to proclaim it in its truth and in its simplicity, because the gospel is the message of the resurrection. The gospel is the message of going from death to life. The gospel is the message of hope and reconciliation. The gospel is the message illustrated by the Master, by His own resurrection from the tomb. We celebrate today the resurrection of Christ. The world does only on this day. We do every first day of the week. We celebrate today the resurrection of Jesus Christ because in it our very lives are given hope. He is the Master. I am the resurrection and the life. Who is Jesus? Just a man? Just a teacher? Just a prophet? The Son of God. The author of life. The one who died upon the cross for you and for me. The wages of sin are death. And He paid that price with His blood, His body. We celebrated that. Giving opportunity, no matter who you are, to be resurrected from the dead. His voice cries out. The voice of His apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit, cry forth, arise. Honor Him as the Son of God. Crucify your old man of sin. Lay him at rest in the tomb, the watery grave, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And be resurrected to a new life. A life of hope, a life of purpose, a life reconciled to God. The good news is proclaimed. Will you respond? I hope so, as we stand and as we sing.